Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbar Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbar.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Allbar. It is Monday, November 14th, 2023. And if I can turn my other phone down here, there we go. Now we'll have the back feed, the back noise, whatever it is. Welcome to a beautiful Wednesday here in southern Wisconsin, across Wisconsin, WRCE in Richland Center, WXCE in Amory, and WXCO in Wausau. Glad to have you all along. Of course, truly is a worldwide audience today because our second guest this morning, Trigvy Olson, joining us from beautiful Belize. He'll be on in just a bit. Joining us from equally as beautiful, maybe not quite as warm, but Lake Wissota, is the host of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow. Pat, it's Crossover Wednesday. How are you?
It's great. It's good to be back. Had a wonderful time last week in Costa Rica. Had never been there before. A cheeseburger always tastes better under a palm tree on a beach.
Now, wait a minute. You're going to Costa Rica. Trigvy's in Belize. I'm lucky to get to Middleton.
Well, I mean, once you've been to Richland Center, what more right. do you really need, right?
Exactly. So you were in Costa Rica. Very nice.
Yeah. I told you, I guess you didn't know until recently, like minutes ago, that my wife and I actually lived in the Cayman Islands from 2014 to 2016 for those three calendar years. And it was a wonderful experience, but also great to come back. So yeah, now I see you've got a friend here with sunshine and open water behind, and it's bringing all the old feels back.
It's nothing like, especially this time of year, right? If you can get to somewhere sunny and warm with a little saltwater air, you know, it's refreshing.
Well, although I did learn the saltwater air cuts both ways. If you live in places like Belize or Costa Rica or Cayman, wherever, that salt air is always eating away. There's a reason, you know, that ships are constantly being repainted. I bought a Jeep Wrangler, a favorite car of mine, and I bought one down there. Uh-huh. And you may know that they come with a soft top and that you can, you know, remove the windows. You can unzip them. They're plastic windows. Mm-hmm. And you can, you know, take those to take the top down. Well, I get this used Jeep. I go to the zipper to unzip the windows to pull them out. The zipper turned to dust in my hand. It had been sitting undriven on a lot for so long. The salt air had eaten away the zipper. And the guy says, oh, yeah, that happens all the time. And he gives me the name of a tailor who sews zippers back on to cars and other things like that. Is it a fair trade-off to live by the ocean? Yeah, but it's one you don't know about.
I guess I'll take disintegrating zippers for $300, Pat, versus, you know, all winter in snow and cold. I don't know, but that, wow. What a job, though, to have, right? I'm just the zipper guy.
He does a lot more than that as well, but to take that, basically it's industrial sewing. You know, and there's sure. there's a need for that for manufacturing and things like that. But I am quite certain that I did not get the bargain basement rate. I'm sure that, you know, there's always a profit margin. I'm sure the margin's a little higher helping some ding dong get his Jeep put back together, you know, than whatever else he was doing.
Well, absolutely. You've been gone for a while. A little, not a whole lot of sexy news happened. I mean, here and there, now coming back after being gone a week, you had Chris Taylor on, who's running for judge this morning. That was I heard that on the way in this morning. Nice discussion. Anything else?
It was nice to hear her bring attention to the Court of Appeals races. She's a right. Dane County judge now, running for a race on the Court of Appeals. And while she's running unopposed, you know, she did talk about the importance of the state Supreme Court race, as well as, you know, what's the importance of electing good people to be appeals court judges, county judges, what have you. There's a fair debate to be had about whether judges should be elected or not, or how you regulate those campaigns so they don't get so god-awful expensive and nasty. But this is the situation we have right now with elected judges. So you really should get to know the candidates, and Chris Taylor's about as solid as they get.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was a great discussion. And, of course, you're starting this, is it weekly or a monthly series with Chris Godlewski, or Sarah Godlewski, rather, coming on. Talking basically.
Sarah Godlewski, I think, is going to join us every other Wednesday at 7:30.
Cool.
To highlight women who, either from a local, regional, or statewide basis, they're having some kind of an impact through public service or business or other community leadership. It's just, a lot of times, you hear about somebody, let's say they're running for legislature, and you've never heard of them before, but they say, well, I was on the school board and I led this and I did this group or this group. Maybe we should meet these people before they run for office or run for higher office, because they do good things, and we deserve to know that there are good people in public service at all levels, not just the people who get all the headlines every day.
Well, I thought Sarah Godlewski had a great run for Senate last year, and it's really refreshing to see this focus on women in particular and give them the stage and a platform to come on your show and across the Civic Media Radio Network and also be mentored by somebody like Sarah Godlewski. I think it's great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, the statistic, you can tell who's been on vacation, is that, men self-recruit. Women have to be asked multiple times to run for something, even though it's as important as ever that we have women running for office. And so if segments like this help encourage a few more folks to say, yeah, I can do that, then I think we have fulfilled our, shall we say, civic duty.
Look at that. The sign of a pro right there, a pro broadcaster, award-winning broadcaster. Pat Kreitler can be heard every morning, Monday through Friday, across the entire Civic Media Radio Network from 6 until 8 a.m. We appreciate the fine leading every day, Pat. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
My pleasure. You have a great day up there at Lake Wissota. Coming up next, from Lake Wissota to the beautiful Caribbean, we'll have Trigvi Olson of the Lincoln Project up next. Stay with us. You're listening to the Tylenol Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Grab a drink in your hand with an umbrella in it, preferably, and put on the suntan lotion. We are headed south down to beautiful Central America and the Caribbean for our next segment. Our weekly guest joining us, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, Trigvi Olson. Trigvi, look at that beautiful sun and waves behind you.
I know.
You're in Belize.
I am. I'm down here for work, actually. I'm doing some project down here.
Nice.
I've been down here many, many times. I will tell you, there's a little bit of an adjustment, because I was out seeing my mom in Hudson this weekend and literally stopped in D.C. for like 9 hours and then came down here, and the temperature difference is about 90 degrees.
So. I'm sure it is. Hudson to Belize? Yes. quite a bit of difference. I've never been to Belize proper. I'm embarrassed, because a really good friend of mine from college is from there, and he went back and ended up getting his medical degree. He's a doctor now in Belize and runs kind of he does some free clinic work, and then he has his own practice as well. He's invited me down. I've never gotten there. I've been to El Salvador like 39 times, but I've never been over to Belize. So I got to get over there. How does it compare?
Belize, I tell you, people who are looking for a good vacation, Belize, you don't want to be in Belize City where I am, but, and no one stays here, none of the tourists stay here, but, and if you do, stay at the Radisson, it's
all right.
Nice.
Very
but
good.
The places to go are San Pedro, which is an island where they don't really have cars, so you drive around in golf carts. And you see all kinds of crazy people. Like, I had a colleague one day who saw Bill Gates having a dispute with his wife and two kids on vacation about a decade ago in a golf cart. And my wife and I were out there, and my wife says, Indiana Jones is having dinner next to us. And I'm like, Indiana Jones? And I look over, and at the next table, Harrison Ford and Calista Flockhart were sitting having dinner.
So that is
it's like
amazing.
One of those kinds of places.
All right, you sold me. Not for the weather, for the celebrities. Yeah. I'm a sucker to see a good celebrity, so I'll have to come down. Things are happening here in the States and around Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And as always, chat just a little bit about all this. One of the things that we've talked about for the last couple of days on the show are all the the new document, or I should say all, but this new situation with documents being found now, not just in Biden's office, but now there's a reportedly some that, which I thought was hilarious, that the president said, well, you know, they were locked next to the Corvette. I mean, they were fine. As long as they're next to the Corvette, you're fine. You know, and of course, Republicans now are licking their chops and saying, oh my gosh, this is exactly like Mar-a-Lago, and you can't. To me, I'll give you my quick take, and I'll let's hear yours. My take is, A, there's a difference because it appears, we don't know everything yet, but it appears that the Biden folks, for the most part, have self-reported and said, hey, look, we found these National Archives, what do we do? Hey, thanks for calling us. We're going to call DOJ, and we'll follow the book and fine. So that's number one. That's versus, you know, having to do a subpoena, get a subpoena from a Trump-appointed judge to do a raid to get these things because he won't turn them over. That's number one. Number two, it appears that there were much higher classified, and you know all the classifications to secret documents or classified documents. It appears that Trump had names of assets that were placed in foreign countries that foreign countries then found out about. And you know, I don't think there's any coincidence that we've seen an uptick in U.S. assets being killed across the country, or across the world, rather, right. Versus it appears Biden, for the most part, in his office had notes on, hey, you're going to meet with you're going to Zoom call with the foreign minister of France. Here are a couple of talking points. So to me, that's the difference. A, the self-reporting, and B, the level of classification. And I'll hasten to add, I do believe that it should be looked at. And if there was wrongdoing by the Biden folks, hey, then they should be prosecuted just the same as the Trump people. But in my opinion, there's a difference. What say you?
Well, so I mean, a couple of things. The analogy for people who are wondering what's the difference, and I don't want to be one of these people who's like, "What about any of this?" Because what Biden, this is serious in both cases. But what it's like in Biden's case is, you go to the library, you check out a book. 2 years later, you come across the book, you realize you haven't returned it to the library, so you call the library, and you say, "Hey, I've got this book. I need to return it." Right.
Right.
Because that's what they did. They self-reported. In Trump's case, it's like you walk into the rare books section, you steal the book, you take it out, and then when the library calls you and says, hey, you have this rare book, you say, no, that's mine. I've had it all along. I determined that it's mine. And, oh, by the way, I might have been trying to sell it. So it is different. And facts matter. Now, that said, the optics of this are terrible.
They are.
Because at the end of the day, on the right, with the right, one of the things Fox News and the right's media outrage complex is really good at doing is creating what about. And you're already seeing this, and they have the usual suspects, and the usual suspects are people who have credibility with the audience. You know, it's my mom already was going off about it when I was back in Hudson, 88 years old. You know, well, Trey Gowdy says, and he's a lawyer.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, he also wants to keep his $1 million, a year Fox contract for which he works 1 hour a week. So,
not a bad gig if you can get it.
No, pretty good work. So, but the optics of this are terrible. I think it makes it really complicated for justice, you know, to prosecute Trump. They have to follow the law, but the problem with it's going to be, it's going to seem to half of Americans or whatever percentage, 40% who are hardcore Trump people, that this is another persecution of them and weaponized government and all the rest. And I'm not sure that it will dent his political support one iota amongst those people.
So what's the deal, Trigvi? Because, you know, I we don't hear about this. I mean, H.W. Bush didn't do this. Clinton didn't do it. W. didn't do it. Obama didn't. I mean, just these last two guys, who's keeping track of this stuff? Who are they hiring to? Who's the staff? Why is this all of a sudden a thing?
Well, you made a point. There are different levels of classification. So stuff can be classified at a relatively low level, or it can be classified all the way up to a level where even the president of the United States has to have a reason somebody in the room when they view it in a skiff.
Right.
I think some of it's the proliferation of how much stuff is classified. Stuff that really isn't, you know, when people, most Americans have no frame of reference, which actually politicians love when it comes to something like this. They have no frame of reference to classified material because so little, few of them have ever handled classified material. So what right. they know about classified material is Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible with some super top secret, you know,
right.
weapon or whatever. And so that's what they think of. My guess is, you know, a lot of the stuff in both places was not those highest level secrets. But as you alluded to, the issue in the Trump case is he had stuff that was up at that level where it's not supposed to leave a skiff. And if you remember back during the Clinton years, there was this guy, Sandy Berger, who tried to walk out of a skiff with classified documents. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Republicans, Sean Hannity, went on and on about Sandy Bergler for right. years. So they're going to do the same thing, because the reality is, for at least for that outrage complex, the facts don't matter. And in a lot of cases, quite honestly, I don't even know that they spend much time trying to know the truth about what it is or is.
So President,
and I don't know what the Biden wants. I mean, it sounds like they were lower level.
Yeah. So the Biden folks are getting ready to launch a reelection campaign. It appears by all reports that Biden is set to run for a second term. And then this happens, and he seemed to have kind of the wind at his back, right? I mean, it appeared that inflation was either holding steady or maybe even notching down just a tad. The Senate had remained in Democratic hands. Things were looking pretty good. You had the crap show over in the House. And now this. Does it change his mind on running for election? And B, if he does run for election, how does this fallout affect his chances?
That's a hard question, Todd, in the sense that, it isn't something like this is never a good thing, because
right.
that was, you know, Trump is the likely Republican nominee. I know that there's lots of people who think DeSantis is inspiring on Fox News, less so on, in person. I have said to a lot of people, and maybe this won't be popular with some of your audiences, but I think Ron DeSantis is a Scott Walker of 2024. A lot of hype, no go. Sort of like, to use a Packer analogy for those who are old enough, it's like when we drafted Rich Campbell from California instead of Ronnie Lott. He's going to be the greatest quarterback in Packer history, replaced Bart Starr. Most of you don't know who he is. But it isn't good. It's really not good, because Trump can use this to create equivalencies. He can use it and Republicans can use it to reinforce, no matter who their nominee is, the idea that Biden is kind of out of it, that Biden thinks there's one set of rules for him, a different set for everybody else. I don't know that it upends Biden's ambition. As John McCain, my old boss, used to say, the only thing that cures presidential ambition is embalming fluid. But
that's great. I think he still runs for election, but I do think it certainly complicates what could have been, I'm not going to say an easy race, but it would have been easier, put it that way, because you're right.
Well,
Trump will never let this die throughout the entire race.
Here's the thing. I mean, Wisconsin's going to be a targeted state. I was glad to hear Pat talk about the Supreme Court race and what Sarah's doing with women running. But Wisconsin's going to be a targeted state. It's going to be one of the states that decides presidential election 2024. And that's going to come down to these people who, you know, who voted Evers Johnson
right.
and who voted Biden, you know, and then Republican in various places, whether it's the wild counties or as it was in 2020 or in the L up 94 and across 29 in the governor's race. And, this doesn't help with those people. I don't think it narrows that line, but it's going to be something that's in the back of their heads.
Yeah. It just makes it messier. That's the thing I don't like. But hey, you got to deal with it. We're going to take a break. How much time we got? About a minute here before the break. Give me your quick thoughts on George Santos. I mean, is this guy really, is it dark money, or is the guy just a goofball?
It's dog money.
It's dog money. It's dog coin. I think he's just a nut. I honestly saw where an interview with him, albeit brief. I just think I don't think the guy's elevator is going all the way to the top.
And McCarthy's McCarthy's kind of like, I mean, he needs him. He needs the vote.
We got to lose that seat.
Right? Exactly. We're going to take a break, come back with more with Trygve Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. Lots more to talk about, including news here in Wisconsin. Stay with us. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show and the Civic Media's Radio Network. I love this vibe. You know, I'm a big Kenny Chesney fan, and you know he has the kind of the island vibe going. So this is fantastic. It's island music, and Trygve Olson from the Lincoln Project, our weekly Wednesday guest, joining us from the shores of Belize in the tropical climates. Fantastic.
You know, the only country concert I've ever been to is Kenny Chesney, and I had to say it was kind of a work obligation-y thing that I felt like I had to go. That guy rocks.
Right?
He's really good. Yeah, it was an awesome time. I have been completely underestimating how much fun country music concerts are.
I will tell you,
the other country music thing that relates to Belize is, so I was saying to you offline, there's a lot of celebrity that have places and stuff down here in Belize because it is the kind of place to escape. And once I was on a flight, and this long-haired old dude sits down next to me, and I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, this looks just like Jerry Jeff Walker. So I said to the guy, I'm like, does anyone ever tell you you look just like Jerry Jeff Walker? And I knew it Jerry Jeff Walker because of the bush ears. Uh-huh. And the guy says, I get that all the time. And he says, you sure I look like him? And I said, yeah. He's like, well, that's good to know because I am.
That's fantastic.
He apparently has been coming down here with he starts telling stories. Just the nicest guy, but he's telling all these stories about like him and Willie Nelson coming down here back long ago and smoking a little geef.
I can't even imagine what that'd be like, right? Just hanging out with those guys, just to be in the room, right? And listen to the stories.
Guitar on the beach.
Right?
Anyway, we've completely digressed from George Santos, which I said offline, but I think it's important for your listeners, Todd. You know, if you're a donor to the DCCC, you should be asking them, or you're a Democrat activist, how they drop the ball on not finding that.
And just for those,
it's total malpractice. I mean, historical malpractice.
And just for those listeners who aren't political junkies like you and I, the DCCC is the political arm of the Democratic Congressional Committee that kind of recruits and helps fund these congressional candidates. Republicans have the same thing on the Republican side. And it's their job to kind of know both the opposition, but also the people that are running on your side. Mm-hmm. And it's just, as you said, a complete malpractice, whatever you want to call it, on their part.
Yeah, totally.
So we'll see. So I guess just to button it up on George Santos, there were these reports that he's getting or got foreign money and different weird places. Again, I'll just ask the question because you've got a lot of experience around the world with taking on some bad guys. Do you think this was really an attempt by some foreign government to try to essentially buy a congressman? Or do you think it's just this guy is an idiot and somehow landed a few bucks?
I don't know. You know, as part of my overseas obligations at different points, I sat through some classes, and one of the things they try and teach you is usually the obvious Occam's razor. Like the obvious answer is usually most likely the most likely one, true one. That would probably vote for he's an idiot and just some kind of weirdo. But I don't know. You know, I mean, it's possible that that's the case. It's just the whole thing is so weird. And then it's exacerbated by the fact that you have McCarthy being so desperate for votes that he's not going to pitch the guy because it's a swing Long Island district. I don't know. The Democrats in Wisconsin should be really proud of what they achieved. I know that there are a lot of people disappointed about Mandela Barnes losing to Ron Johnson, but like Evers won. They held the line in the Senate like they did, given how gerrymandered the state is. But the Democrats in New York should be ashamed of themselves. I mean, they cost the Democrats a majority in the House, not just in redistricting, but, and then they let this guy get elected. It's nuts.
It is. Equally nuts, I think, on a kind of a different spectrum. News this week, or late last week into this week, a guy by the name of Robert Spindell, who is on the Wisconsin Election Commission. He is a commissioner. And bragging this week about the voter suppression, essentially, bragging in a letter to people that 37,000 less people voted in the Milwaukee County and said it right out loud, and most of them black and Hispanic, and was bragging about this. And as you know, we've talked about this, this was the reason I left the Republican Party back in 2011 when then, you know, state senators were pushing through a lot of these so-called voter ID bills which were essentially voter suppression. And I sat in the room and listened to Republican sitting state senators get giddy and happy about the prospect of denying American citizens their right to vote. And this was intentional. Right. And that was a bridge too far. And that's why I walked away. Now you've got this. They're not saying it behind closed doors anymore, Trigvi. They're saying it out loud, and they're proud of it.
I mean, it's outrageous. It is completely outrageous. And, you'll chuckle at this. I have, throughout my entire life, no matter where I've gone, the first paper I read every day is the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
I love that.
In large part because for years I wanted to see what Bob McGinn had to say about the Packers, and the rest just kind of came with it. And then now, you know, McGinn's gone, but I still, Journal Sentinel every day. So I had flagged this. Honestly, and my initial thought, Todd, is you remember in the 90s, like when Tommy was governor and we're working, and like you're young, you're idealistic, And there was voter fraud in Milwaukee. I mean, I got sent over in one of the elections to kind of track because it seemed like there were people being brought up from Chicago. Now, it was one or two, and it was an anomaly, and it was mostly about, like, I don't even know that we found anything. So, but what this guy is doing, and the fact they're saying it out in the open, and the fact that they're admitting what it's about, which is winning elections, I think it is criminal. First of all, you'll probably get a visit from the Civil Rights Division. The second thing is that this is Wisconsin. For God's sakes, we're from Wisconsin. We're not Alabama. We're not Georgia. We're not Mississippi. And that's what some of these people are acting like, a bunch of racist rednecks down there. And they can, you know, to say it out in the open is outrageous.
And not even willing to take. I mean, not even really willing to walk it back. And then he's appointed by Devin LeMahieu, the Senate Majority Leader. I haven't seen any sort of a condemnation by Devin LeMahieu or Robin Voss or Mark Jefferson or is Paul Farrell now the state party chair? None of these people are coming out with any sort of condemnation whatsoever.
Right. And I mean, listen, we've known those guys. I don't know Leventhal, but I know the other one. I've known the other ones for years, right?
Right.
I've known Robin since high school. And Robin knows better. And honestly, if Robin's listening or he gets this piece, or maybe I'll just cut it and send it to him. You need to condemn this. This is absolutely the worst. This is not what's great about Wisconsin. It's awful. It's terrible. I mean, it really, really is. And I don't know. You know, I think people, I was back and I got to go out drinking with my buddies, which is literally my happiest place in the world. And we ate prime rib and we drank. I drank like 9 spotted cows, so I felt like crap the next morning. But, and 2 brandy old fashions. Might have been the old fashions. But here's the thing. It's like Wisconsin is just an awesome place. We were at a supper club and I was thinking, I've been all over the world. And this is the greatest place on the planet. Stuff like that. It's just, it's, it's some of the worst stuff on the planet. The fact that you have a politician out saying that, it's just, it's not who Wisconsinites are. Just isn't.
And he's literally in charge, or one of the people in charge of overseeing the elections in the state of Wisconsin.
It's outrageous.
It is. Moving on to kind of another issue here that I found interesting, and again, as a guy who's run a lot of elections, not just in Wisconsin, but around the world, quite literally, Republicans, I think, and Pat Kreitler was talking about this on his show today, the Supreme Court race in Wisconsin, which is going to be really important for a lot of different reasons. The most, or the biggest of which, is it will determine the makeup or the majority of the court. Right now, it's a one-seat majority in favor of the liberal, or pardon me, of the conservatives, and depending upon this race, it could swing to the liberals. And the biggest kind of issue out there so far has been that if it goes to the liberal side, this would allow a lawsuit to be brought before the new court to challenge the latest set of maps that were drawn by Republicans that, by all accounts, by simply applying the law, it appears that they need to be redrawn, and there were some shenanigans going on. So this is what kind of the driving force. But now you have Republicans coming out here and voting on it, I believe yesterday, and saying they're going to put a non-binding, meaningless referendum on the ballot in the spring alongside the Supreme Court race that will ask whether or not voters believe that Wisconsin welfare recipients, unless you're a mother or disabled, should have to work in order to get your benefits. This is what they're putting on. It's non-binding, but it appears
party
to me
like it's 1990, Todd.
what do you make of this trick?
Tommy Thompson already did that. Like, I remember being with McCallum in meetings with Polly Williams about that. It got done. Like, honestly, it's so jaded. It's just, and this is the thing about the redistricting too. This is what really gets me. Like, when you and I started in politics in the 90s, we were young. We were idealistic. Republicans hadn't controlled the legislature in 30 years, and Tommy was going to change it. And we were all on a mission, and there was too much Madison running the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. There just was. People, you know, and Work Not Welfare was an example of what one of the, you know, of the successes of that. The fact that they're having to wheel that out after it became the consensus, we won on that. Bill Clinton made it national, for God's sakes, what we did, right? It's like school choice, same dynamic. I mean, and the fact that that's what they're left wheeling out, along with like trying to exclude minority people from voting, tells you how the Republican Party is a party, which is why I left, a party that really has won, and now it's like the Empire in Star Wars. They have nothing to exist for except for trying to maintain power for themselves. And honestly, you know, the only upside in this, and that Supreme Court race is a big national race. I was on a call with some, you know, major sort of center-left donors, and they're all looking at that race. It's going to be a big national race. It's on everybody's radar screen for that reason. But it's just the Republican Party needs to reinvent itself. It needs to become a party of new ideas and all the rest of it. And but the problem is that the people that have tried to do that, like Paul Ryan, just get taken out.
Right.
And so, like, and I bet we're going to have some survey data back. And, you know, Paul Ryan's one of the people we asked about, just to kind of see, like, I'm guessing he's not very popular with Wisconsin Republicans, because it's just sort of become a cult where everything is about whatever actions you have to take to maintain power.
That's what I tell people is you know, I was still in the building, 7 years ago. And, you know, people behind his back, and maybe not even behind his back anymore, they make the current Republicans make fun of Tommy Thompson. They laugh at him. They just look at him as a kind of an old man that had some ideas but doesn't really understand politics. He was the most successful governor outside of Bob La Follette in the state's history. Got more accomplished than any other governor I can think of. As you said, I mean, I was in a lot of meetings and events when W2 was being rolled out. The number of black folks that were there saying this is what we want actually to help us get to a better spot. I mean, Tommy Thompson was providing child care. Tommy Thompson was offering a reduced or in some cases free tuition for people to get educated, to have their kids taken care of while they're getting educated so they could get a job, so they could have a career. I mean, it was about advancing people to a better place. And it worked.
Solve problems. Tommy Thompson would wake up every day, show up at the Capitol, and be like, what problems can I solve and who can I work with? It didn't make a difference if it was Fred Risser or Mike Ellis, right?
And yes, here's the thing, 100%.
Because he wanted to do. The problem is that we have had a generation, and unfortunately a lot of it's our generation, and unfortunately it's happened in Wisconsin, of politicians who have spent their entire life wanting to be some sort of political figure. And to be honest, it starts with Scott Walker.
It does. Stay with us. More of the Trigvy Olson on the other side. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Sing along, Kenny. You wouldn't want to hear it, but I could sing along to Kenny Chesney all day. No shirt, no shoes, no problem. That's what Trigvy Olson's saying today down in Belize. He is also with the Lincoln Project, has had a wonderful and exciting life. Hello? My mic went out. Kenny Chesney's mic went out there for a second. Trigvy has had a wonderful, exciting life, continues to do so, worked for a lot of interesting people, among them former U.S. Senator and presidential candidate John McCain, run some national races, and also gone overseas. And as he said, one of the few people that have been banned from Russia by Vladimir Putin himself. So that's the kind of cred.
Well, there's more now, but I was early.
Before the break, yeah,
McCain told me, McCain's like, you know, boy, he's like, no bigger badge of honor than your enemies. And he's like, that's a big one. It's like, yeah, well,
you didn't want to
I'm new to this, Senator.
You didn't want to visit the Kremlin anyway. It's fine.
They don't want to go back to their stupid country.
Before the break, talk a little bit about the Supreme Court race and the fact that the Republican Party has changed so much. Now they've got this goofy referendum. Republican legislature is going to put on a non-binding referendum asking voters whether or not they believe the people who receive welfare benefits in Wisconsin should have to work. And as Trigvy pointed out, that was done already in the 90s by former Governor Tommy George Thompson and Polly Williams, as you said, Jerry Whitburn and Eric Clouser.
I wonder whatever happened to old Gary. We met with Gary. He's chair of the joint finance.
Yeah.
He was big on school choice, too, which, honestly, they might as well just roll that back out, too.
They really should. I'm surprised that they haven't already. But so the Republicans are basically, in my opinion, doing this to gin up the vote because I think they're worried about the U.S. or the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. But before the break, talking about how the Republican Party has changed since the days of Tommy Thompson, and Trigvy, you made a comment that you think it really kind of really started with Scott Walker.
Yeah, because the thing is that, you know, as I was saying before the break, Tommy Thompson used to always say, it's some of the sagest advice I ever got about politics, and every single person who's listening and every American should take it to heart. There's two kinds of politicians, those who want to do and those who want to be. And you want to elect those who want to do regardless of what party they're in, because they get stuff done, even if you don't agree with it 100%. Scott Walker was a guy who wants to be. And how do I know that? Because he was the guy at Badger Boys State, literally at Ripon College. Mm. While all the rest of us were trying to get the college girls who were working in the lunchroom out behind a dorm, Scott Walker was running around running for governor of the state of Wisconsin, not just at Boys State, but like literally he was like the Bill Clinton and he ends up being the senator from Boys State. And everybody knew Scott because they're all like, who is this guy running for governor of Wisconsin in 30 years at Boys State?
He literally was.
I started telling people that story when he had his presidential ambitions because I was working for a different candidate. And I will tell you, I enjoyed telling it because I thought he's the Republican Bill Clinton even back when I was at at Boy's Day. But like, I got a call from somebody in his orbit who's like, the governor is very mad at you. And I said, what part of the story doesn't Scott like? If it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. Tell him to put his big boy pants on.
And he has pretty thin skin. That's what's really funny about it. He does.
But you know what's crazy? His approach at like a debate or whenever I saw him next was to actually try and be all like nicey.
Oh, yeah.
Like not acknowledging, like I had a job to do at the end of the day. And the job, Scott Walker stood in between my guy and being the nominee, which granted, we were all fighting the wrong enemy. It should have been Donald Trump, but it's neither here nor there.
Right.
So
no, it's Walker is an interesting guy.
He everything was calculated, and the positions he took were all about being. They weren't about doing. Some right. of them might have been in the best interest of the state of Wisconsin, but don't confuse that happening to be the case with what the intention was. The intention was to have a platform to run on Fox News for president of the United States.
And that's what he did. Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, his presidential ambitions did not last long. It petered out.
They didn't go so well.
Not so well for old Scotty.
No. So
what do you agree or disagree? Do you think that this goofy referendum, this non-binding on the spring ballot, do you think they're looking at internal poll numbers and looking at enthusiasm and saying, holy crap, we got to do something to gin up our turnout? Do you think this kind of is a signal that Republicans are worried that the Dems have the Liberals have a leg up on this race?
Yeah, I think so. Right. I think they're trying to make it's a turnout. I mean, that's the kind of thing you do for turnout. Right. I also think, what it says to me is they're probably worried about like older voters who either remember that and somehow think that Democrats have rolled it back, except Democrats haven't really controlled the state of Wisconsin other than Tony Evers being a check in the governor's office. So how would they have done that? But I think it's about older voters. And there's also an element of this that, honestly, it's like, let's attack poor people who right. are less well off, right? Like there's a socioeconomic element to it. They're taking advantage, which was not the point of reforming welfare at all. In fact, it was about empowering those people. So I think they know it's a huge race. I think you're going to see all kinds of national Republican groups in the middle of this. You're going to see, you know, the Democrats go all in. You know, we've even at the Lincoln Project, you know, been looking at like what are things that we might be able to do. I don't know that we'll play in the race, but I think Republicans have a right to be worried. Granted, it's a focus group of eight of my lifelong buddies, but and a lot of beers. But that almost all of them voted for Evers. Most of them voted for Johnson because Barnes was a bridge too far. Some of them voted for Barnes. Some of them skipped the race. I think they're, you know, like if I were the Republicans, I'd be worried about them in the Supreme Court race because if Democrats do a really good job of making the case about gerrymandering and why that just having a fair system would be better for them. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't agree with Democrats on policy, but they agree with Democrats on democracy, and they're going to keep voting for Democrats when democracy is on the ballot. If Democrats can make it, at least for that section of voters, democracy on the ballot, they will win.
Refreshing, isn't it? That democracy actually win once in a while. It seems like it always rises to the top. You know, Americans eventually figure it out when left to their own devices. Trygve Olson from the Lincoln Project, we appreciate you every Wednesday. As always, thanks for making time for us, especially while you're down south. Enjoy that nice weather down there.
Yeah, thanks very much. Next Wednesday, I'll be back in D.C., and then I'm headed back to Wisconsin for the weekends after not this weekend, but the next.
So. Well, nice. Well, when you're next time you're in Madison, we'll get together and have a beer of our own, and see what kind of
I will be there sometime in February, and I'm going to plan this so we can do it live on a Wednesday. I'll make sure I'm in Madison on a Wednesday.
Fantastic! That's awesome.
Awesome.
All right, thanks, Trygve. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.
Yep.
Thanks so
you
much.
You too. See you, Todd. Bye.
Bye-bye. Trygve Olson of the Lincoln Project back with more after this. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.